something is going to get you tonight. Let's talk about the thing that's going to get you tonight.
Welcome to the Happy Harvest Horror Show.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
And I'm Brian. And this is the Happy Harvest Horror Show, where we get together and talk about our favorite scary things. We got a little bonus episode today because we went on a little fun field trip out to New Orleans, USA.
New Orleans.
And we attended the Overlook Film Festival and got a whole bunch of fun, spooky times in. So I can't wait to just dive in. I thought this would be a fun episode for us just to kind of recap, reflect.
It was a good time, I must say.
It was a great festival. It was a great time. I'd love to just chat about it, sing the praises. But before that, I want to hear how spooky your week was first. And we're going to get into Overlook, so that doesn't count.
Fair. No, I will say, since I've gotten back into Overlook, even like my like TikTok algorithm like knows I'm in like spooky mode, because I'm just getting like videos that are just autumn scenes and like Halloween in the 90s and just shit like that, like all over my social media.
Sometimes the universe shows up, you know.
Yep, and I'm eating it up. I'm like, oh, that's a vibe. So in the mode now. I've definitely been riding the Halloween high since Overlook. As far as spooky content, actually today, just right before we started recording, been binge watching the Fallout series.
Hell yeah. Amazon. Yeah, finished it.
I have one episode left. Don't you dare tell me what happens.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's been really fun because like my partner like loves the video game. And so he tells me all these like nerdy video game things and like, oh, that's just like in the game. And then the game you do this, which is just very adorable. But it's also like, I've never played the game or know nothing about it. And I was just like, this is fucking rad.
This is exactly the same with Walls when we're watching it. Because I love the games too. And so there'd be all these tons of little Easter eggs. And I'd pause and go, this is what's happening. Like an absolute nerd, but it's so fun. And yeah, she loved it too. So yeah, there's no.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's really well done. Also, like, I don't know, politically, I'm loving the messaging. Like, I love what it has to say even. So
I love, someone put it in a pretty great way. It's a show about haves and have nots in a world where there's not much to have.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Definitely. Yeah. And also, if you're a Righteous Gemstones fan, you got Uncle Baby Billy.
Oh my God, Baby Boy Billy. Yeah. Walter Goggins is a national treasure, and he's so good in this series. Oh my gosh.
His character is amazing. His character is probably my favorite because it's such a complex character. Like, such a good character.
A lot to chew on for that one.
Yeah, but he's a wild one. Like there's a lot going on there for sure. There's a lot going on in the whole show. Like it's really layered. It's really entertaining. Yeah, got some good, you know, spooks and monsters and stuff. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But one episode left.
Well, I'm excited for you. It's a doozy of a finale. It's great though. It's how it all wraps. It's really fun.
I believe it. How about you? How spooky has your week been?
Well, we watched Fallout. So echoing that, loved it. Loved it so much. Also, I went to the movies. If you can believe it. I did catch up, which I'll talk or I'll save this one too, because a few weeks ago we saw Immaculate, which was very fun. I thought it was a great time. And then I saw The First Omen finally this last weekend. And on our next episode, we're getting a certain spooky Catholic gang back together to talk about these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a moment happening for unwanted Catholic pregnancies. Back to back.
That's what it's about.
Back to back these two movies. But I did enjoy both of them a whole bunch. What else? I could look at the old I think I've told you about this at some point off the air, but this is a real life spooky, which is a different from Brian. I usually just talk about horror movies.
Yeah. And then I'm the one coming in with, I might have saw a ghost.
Right. Well, I didn't see a ghost, but there is a gentleman on his bike that goes up and down our street and will shout. Well, we've never figured out what he's shouting. It sounds like gibberish. And it turns out that we're not the only ones that have noticed. There's a whole subreddit group that is investigating what is this person yelling. No one, and I live in a very diverse area, and a lot of people don't know what he's saying. There has been an update on one of the Facebook groups that someone has finally tracked him down and asked him, what are you shouting? The person believes that a curse has been put on him.
Oh, no.
And was told that yelling is a form of exorcism, of letting it out, like speaking in tongues, if you will. And so the update is he's okay and it's helping. So
good. I love that for him.
It's a happy ending. It's just a little spooky that there's people out there cursing.
I know. Why don't we put curses on people?
We're going into an election year and we got to deal with curses too.
Don't be doing that. But I will say, curse or no curse, I sometimes just yelling into the void, that's a healing activity for us all, I think. So I do.
It's helping him. I mean, it's helped me reframe it too, because it hasn't stopped. And I found this out a couple weeks ago. I just remembered now for us recording. And so every time I hear him now, I'm like, yeah, you get him.
Get him out. Well, I would like to here on air wish him the best, and let's send his energy to like remove the curse. Like, let's send him good vibes.
Yeah, let's all keep him in mind.
Yeah, keep him in mind, and hope we get rid of that curse, because you know, shouldn't be going around cursing people.
Man. I agree.
It's just rude. It's rude.
I agree. But yeah, that's my that's kind of my spooky week. We're technically halfway to Halloween this month.
Oh, you know my what I mean? God.
If you think about it, and I do. Yeah. we're nearing our halfway to Halloween. And I just want to say, y'all, we're close. You know, we just got to get through. I say this every year, but we just got to get through these damn hot months. Mm-hmm. And then we're in it.
Speaking of hot months, up here living in the mountains, literally yesterday, beginning of the day, I was sitting outside in the sun having a mimosa, 60 degree weather. We got a foot and a half of snow last night.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, literally in one day, it went from summer to winter.
We're still in our New York summer, fake summer right now. This happens every year. We have fake spring and then it goes back to second winter. And then we have fake early summer and then it's back to second winter, you know. So hopefully it sticks. It's going to get hot, but I want to focus on the good. And the focus on the good is that Halloween is closer day by day. And we're in a world where people love spookies more than ever, which I don't know if you saw, but Halloween Horror Nights is now starting in August this year.
Hey,
we're just another step closer to this being a year round.
I know, we just keep pushing it back and I love it.
Right? I mean, I feel like all these local haunts already kind of are year round in little ways that, like, I know there's in the Midwest haunts that I would go to. They pack it all up after Halloween season and then make Christmas haunts.
Yeah.
And they pack it up and do a Valentine's Day haunt, you know, so it's already kind of year round.
Because I do remember a time when like spooky season was October, like it was just October. And then we took over September.
It was a beautiful time, but we've got too much love in our hearts to.
We got too much to do.
Yeah.
We have fully taken over September. Like, September is spooky season.
September never had a chance.
Yeah, it really didn't.
And now we're pushing in August because people are like, there really isn't anything in August either, you know?
Yeah, just saying. You know?
And after 4th of July, I mean, that's a whole, and it's 25 days after the 4th.
Like, what are you going to do with that time? Also, I'm loving, I get this, I've been getting this on TikTok a lot, and I feel like this is in line with what you're saying, kind of like taking over more and more of other seasons, like summer slasher hollow or slasher summer, like,
yep,
so kind of like bringing like Halloween slasher camp vibes to summer, and like that feels very like,
yeah, like, I think that's always, yeah, I mean, Jaws, that's always a big one. But like slashers, they're like, Friday the 13th is always a summer series for me.
And just like kind of like horror camp aesthetic.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's becoming like a thing. Like,
we love to see it.
I know, right?
Like, we love to see it.
Like horror movie marathons in the summer. And I'm like, yes.
This is never a bad time. That's right. Well, speaking of horror movie marathons, we got a fest to talk about.
We sure do.
So, yeah, but before we you know, segue over there. It was a dynamite segue, Brian. Good job.
You're so good at segues.
So good at it. I got paid for that. We do have a book club, and it's a dynamite book club. And this month we are reading a dynamite book. We're reading the last of the Jay Daniels books, Angel of Indian Lake. If you'd like to join us on our book club, where we read a book a month, a scary book a month, join us over at Happy Harvest Horror Show, the Instagram, and then at the Linktree, you can support us. And supporting us gets you an invite to all our Zoom discussions every month. If you don't want to support, that's okay too. You can also just join along. We post all of the books that we're reading every month on Instagram, so just follow along there. And you do that 12 months, you got 12 books. Pays for itself, right?
Boom.
Boom. Anyway, we love the book club. We love the people in the book club. Big fan.
When's our next book club meeting?
We are meeting on May 1st to discuss The Angel of Indian Lake by Stephen Graham Jones. So hope to see you there if you're interested. Yeah, just hit us up at happyharvesthorrorshow@gmail.com after you've supported and say, hey, get me in there. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time.
It's scary and we need to talk about it is our MO. But speaking of talking about scary things, let's get back to the Overlook Film Festival. Corey, this was your first year. This is my second year attending the festival in New Orleans. Last year, I came back and reported that I had a great time, saw a lot of great movies, super fun. What was your impression of the fest going this time?
I mean, I had an overall great experience. It was also my first time in New Orleans, and that's been like top of my travel list for a long time. Just the location is great. We were like right in the French Quarter, so like having the festival right there is awesome because you can also kind of beep around and see all the sights and all the spots, which we did. We went to the Vampire Cafe and a bunch of voodoo shops and all kinds of cool stuff. As far as the festival goes, I know. So I kind of did individual movies, basically. Like I bought tickets for individual screenings. Brian, on the other hand, he went hardcore. He went all in. He was seeing movies sun up to sundown, pretty much.
You gotta do it.
But I thought it was great. I loved my choices. I loved the things I ended up seeing. It was a great mix of like movies, documentaries, like extra fun things. Like we're going to talk about it, but like there was a panel for Over the Garden Wall, which if you've been listening to us for a while, you know I lost my shit over because it's the greatest thing ever made. But like lots of little like extras, and then there are parties and like an art market. So it really is like, you know, it's not just movies, like it's a celebration of movies, but there's a lot more going on, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. I think the festival, it finds new ways of surprising and getting cooler every year. And there's stuff that we missed this time, too. Like there was a, you know, there's a spooky ice cream pop up that I saw that was selling
a specialty ice cream. Right.
And we missed that, you know, we missed that. So I guess we gotta go back next year. We gotta
I guess so.
Yeah, it's always so much fun. And it's always a highlight for me, but it's seeing all these horror movies in the festival circuit currently that aren't out yet.
Does make me feel pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. When I'm like, nobody else has seen this yet.
Which is a double edged sword, because sometimes like last year when I saw Talk to Me, I was like, cool. Nobody to talk to about this movie, you know, and I can only annoy so many people by going, I saw this movie, Talk to Me. Like, we know, Brian. It's like that meme. They're like, nobody, the guy in the corner of the party, he's like, nobody knows I saw Talk to Me, and everyone's dancing like, yes, we know, you keep talking about it. Yeah, but it's so fun. I had a blast. I thought we could just go through this episode and just kind of recap, kind of reflect, and kind of list some of these movies, because that's also the joy of these movies is a lot of them don't have release dates yet, or if they do, it'll come pretty soon. So as we talk about these, we're going to be spoiler free because they're not out yet. We don't want you to. We want to hype them up. We want to tell you our favorites, but we don't want to
give you some little teasers. But we're not going to.
Let me just give our quick little review. So I mean, I can kick it off because all the movies. Oh wait, no, you saw a movie that I didn't see, so I'm excited to hear.
I did. Review.
But here, I got a whole little list that I made.
Brian had like a solid color-coded schedule. Like, he was doing work, I must say.
You gotta.
He was like, we'd all be hanging out because another friend of ours came with us as well. And we'd all be hanging out and we'd be in the middle of a conversation. Brian'd be like, I have to be at a movie right now.
I gotta go. I can't be messing around with this. Well, yeah, I guess I'll kick you off. There was a movie called In a Violent Nature. It'd be a fun segue from our summer slasher conversation. This was just at Sundance and South by Southwest. And this one was pretty neat. This one was cool. I'd recommend checking this out because it's been heralded as like this new take on the slasher genre. The premise of it is it's like a slasher movie. And the movie, you follow Jason the whole time. Instead of, you know, the camp counselor is getting picked off. So it's a whole meditative, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a slasher movie, but the camera's, you know, right behind the lumbering slasher. He's going through the woods and it's long scenes of them just like, because they don't sprint to the kills. It's always a slow walk, you know? So a lot of the, a lot of it is just like lumbering through, you know, walking through the forest at night and sounds of the forest and wood snapping and, you know, twigs and leaves. And it's like, it's almost like ASMR, like, oh, this is so nice. Until he finally finds a counselor and kills him. And some of the gnarliest kills I've seen ever. I mean, like Terrifier level kills, nuts, all practical effects. So the kills are great. Movie's really kind of cool. And that's the premise. That's the kind of the breakdown of it. It's just like a slasher movie following the killer. I thought this was cool. I'm not sure if this has gotten picked up anywhere, if it has any release date planned, but it's called In a Violent Nature. And I also thought the design of the slasher was pretty cool. He's holding he's got a hook and a chain attached to it, and then a hatchet in the other hand, and his mask has these big old like miner eyes.
And that was a pretty popular one, wasn't it? Wasn't the lines were kind of long for that one?
Yeah, this one was there was a lot of hype coming out of Sundance and South by Southwest about this one. So keep an eye out for this one, In a Violent Nature. I thought that was pretty cool. We could go in to talk about one we both saw. Do you want to talk about? I mean, we could just blow off the lid here and talk about maybe one of our favorites. I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
So we saw this one. This was the follow-up film from Jane Schoenbrunn, I believe you pronounced their last name. But this is the same director as We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I know you and I both really love this movie. So this was top of the list. We really wanted to see what their follow-up was going to be.
Yeah. Say just straight out the gate, if you liked We're All Going to the World's Fair, you will definitely vibe with this movie, in my opinion. And if you didn't, maybe not. Like, it's definitely like dealing with similar themes and like a similar kind of existential horror. Yeah, but way, way bigger budget. So a lot more to work with.
Yeah, I mean, that is the biggest thing, is that the leap from the micro budget of We're All Going to the World's Fair to this big A24, released it. Pretty incredible what they were able to do, and you see it all on the screen, and it's so good.
It's beautiful.
That's the big takeaway we gotta tell you. It's so good.
I mean, I will say straight up, was it the spookiest, scariest movie I saw?
No.
Was it the best movie I saw? Yes. Like, I think that film is one of the best movies I've probably ever seen. Like, it's an incredible film. As far as connecting it to horror, it's more just like that heavy existential kind of horror. And then also a lot of playing with, I think, 90s aesthetics of like gateway horror, essentially, which is very enjoyable. So it definitely does fit the genre. You're not really dealing with like jump scares and like, you know, anything like that, but like, It wrecked me. It wrecked me emotionally.
Yeah, we all walked out of the theater and just kind of exhaled.
We just kind of sobbed a little.
Yeah, big existential scaries. It deals a lot with memory, a lot of memory and identity and how unreliable memory is when looking back. And all through this, great like 90s Nickelodeon kind of aesthetic, you know, of like, you know, if you're fans of Are You Afraid of the Dark, and like, say even like Goosebumps to a degree, you know, like it's all kind of in this
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
Yeah, because I guess we're talking about just big, you know, our impressions, but the synopsis of this one is it's two friends that kind of reconnect later in life that are looking back at a show they mutually loved that's similar to like Are You Afraid of the Dark sort of thing, and looking back and wondering if, you know, the shared appreciation of the show, if there was something more to it. That's where we'll leave it.
Yeah, it's largely just about figuring yourself out. Similar to We're All Going to the World's Fair, I think it does this absolutely like kind of gut-wrenching and beautiful job of exploring loneliness, like, yeah. and trying to use media or other experiences or connections with other people through media to like navigate your inner world and your identity. And it's fucking brilliant. Like, it's an absolutely brilliant film. I recommend it. So
with
so
a banger of a soundtrack too.
Oh my God. Yeah. The soundtrack is so good. It's visually stunning. Yeah. It's so good. It's just such a good film.
Huge fan. Yeah, so that was probably one of our favorites. Definitely your favorite of the festival. I Saw the TV Glow. And we won't have to wait too long for that one to come out. That comes out, it's getting a wide release May 3rd. So just a few weeks.
It's coming.
When you go see it, tell them we sent you, you know?
Give us a little name drop.
Yeah, you're at your AMC, like, hey, Happy Harvest Horror Show sent me. They're going to be like, I don't, okay.
I like it.
Yeah, keep this going. What's another one? I could talk about Red Rooms. That was a movie that...
And I will never watch.
This one was a doozy. Red Rooms, a French-Canadian movie that was at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival last fall, and I missed it there, so I was glad to catch it here. But the premise of this one is, yeah, there's a murder trial going on of these horrible murders, and it's kind of like a courtroom drama that starts off as being, and it follows this pretty obsessed pedestrian interested in the case about the murder of these teenage girls that were killed and put in like snuff films and sold on the dark web. But three girls were murdered. And so there's up in the air whether or not the killer on trial is the one did it or not. So our main character, she's kind of like this very tech savvy. She's on the search through the dark webs of finding the third video of the murder to see if the person did it or not. And that's the setup. This one was hard. This one was really hard to watch.
Hence why I said I will never watch it. I don't know. I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but it does not seem up my alley. Kudos to you for.
Yeah, I talked to a few people in the festival. Also, you know, saw this, and kind of the consensus was just like a big exhale of just like, oh, that was pretty harrowing, you know. I'm not sure again what this one, the release is. The next screening that I know is going to be at the Chattanooga Film Festival. I don't know if that's the next one, but I do know it's going to be there this summer. So if you're around Chattanooga, you could check it out there. Red Rooms. It's weird to say like I recommend it because I enjoy it. I was like, I don't know, but that's also like effective horror, you know, that
yeah,
I walked
that's
out
how
of
it is sometimes.
You know, I was pretty horrified by what I saw, you know, and how
and
it was
that's
filmed.
The rating scale. Were you horrified?
Were you horrified? Yeah. Pretty upset, really, yeah, you know, throw that on your list if you want a little, not a challenge, but just kind of like, but just be ready for it. You know, it's a doozy of one. Let's talk about one that you saw. You saw... The
Realm
Satan.
Of Satan.
Yeah, the Realm of Satan.
Yes. This was a documentary. It was cool because the documentarian himself was there, as well as one of the subjects who is a local to New Orleans. So they were there. They did a little like Q&A afterwards. It was also just like there weren't that many people in the screening, which was nice because like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like a very little community. And there's also... I don't know. The documentarian, like, he was the sweetest. He was absolutely
Scott
lovely.
Cummings.
Yes, Scott Cummings. Absolutely lovely. And I think just an incredibly talented filmmaker. So Realm of Satan, I really, really enjoyed it. I know we've talked before several episodes kind of about Satanism and specifically like documentaries on Satanism. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of good ones. I think one of like the ones that I've recommended before is Hail Satan ? That kind of goes into like the contemporary Satanic Temple and their political work and stuff. And obviously Satanism is a big thing and there's lots of different sects and people practice completely differently and all of that. But this was a really cool film. It was very, very art house, like, and which I loved because even Scott Cummings said, he was like, this is like, he said at the beginning of the movie, he's like, this is a very weird movie. He said, he's like, if it upsets you, you can beat me up afterwards. It was very like, and I didn't think it was an upsetting movie, but it does like have some very interesting imagery for sure. But he also said, he's like, it's not really a documentary. Like, and his reasoning for that was because there are enough documentaries about Satanism. Like he really wanted to like paint a portrait, which is very much what he did. Very art house, almost no dialogue, almost no talking, like at all throughout like the vast majority of this film. And it really is just largely a series of beautiful shots of kind of the inner lives and like the homes of various Satanists. And there's a little bit of a narrative that runs through it as well. But the reasoning behind this is because like a core tenet of Satanism is very much about making your environment like reflect you, and like your environment is in itself kind of magic and like part of your practice. And that was kind of the leading idea like with this film. And yeah, it was just beautiful. It was like so many really cool shots of various Satanists living their everyday lives. So you get these really beautiful dramatic shots of like rituals. And then you would also get like shots of them like hanging up their laundry on clotheslines and, you know, just daily life stuff. And
right.
I loved it. I thought it was great. It's definitely, if, especially if you're the type of person that really enjoys just like a good shot, like a well set up image,
mm-hmm.
like a well set up moving image that almost like looks like a painting. It's just like an hour of that, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Really cool shots, really like stunning imagery. And yeah, I think a very intimate portrait of some Satanists in America. And I thought it was super cool. I thought it was super dope. So yeah, if that interests you at all, if you're into that kind of stuff, you like art house stuff, Realm of Satan, I would very much recommend it.
Yeah, it sounds cool. This one also, I don't think has a really release date yet. So hopefully it shows up somewhere very soon. But yeah. Realm of Satan. Yeah, I'll take the next one because I saw a ton of movies.
Yeah, you did.
I saw Cuckoo. Cuckoo is the... It was going to come out, I think, like next month, but it got pushed, sadly, till August. So I'm going to have to wait a little bit for this one. But it's a Neon release. So Neon release, Cuckoo. It stars Hunter Schafer and Dan Stevens. And it's about this young woman, that Hunter Schafer, and she goes to live with her father in the German Alps on this little wilderness compound where there's some scientists doing some research on some local wildlife. And while she's there, things start to get a little scary and there might be something going on.
Oh,
if you can believe it. I think the biggest thing to say about this one of the performances, I think Hunter Schafer and Dan Stevens are so good. I mean, immediately in the movie, Hunter Schafer, you're with her until the end. She's just an incredible actress. And Dan Stevens is having a ton of fun. He plays this head German scientist doing some research on, I don't know, I'm going to have to see it in August. But Cuckoo. Yeah, I think this is definitely recommend. I think to check it out, at least. There's some pretty crazy stuff that happens in this one. It was fun when we came back to the apartment after, and I was full spoilers. I was telling you,
yeah,
you and our friend, I was like, this is what happens. You're like, oh. So yeah, I'm excited to see what the consensus of this one is or where people fall. Cuckoo is another one on our list. Let's see what else. We could talk about another one we both saw, which I think was the scariest film. I think this might be the scariest movie I've seen in a minute, if I look back.
So, yeah, and I'm excited to talk about this one because you did say, and you're not wrong, I saw that TV Glow is my favorite because it's just like such an incredible movie. But we're going on a scale of scariest, spookiest. I would definitely go with this one. Yeah. I would definitely.
We're talking about Oddity. Oddity. Oh, yeah. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. It's a good one. This one's a great one. The premise of this one is it follows it's a blind medium, and she's trying to solve the death of a loved one. And she owns an oddity shop. So she uses
oddities.
She uses her little bits and baubles that may be haunted, you know, to solve. This one, I really don't want to go too much into specifics on this one, I think, because I went in pretty cold or blind, not knowing. See what I did there? Blind. I think that the perspective on this is key to how scary this one is, yeah. You know? I think that it's largely a single location that's not chill. Even when there's nothing going on, I don't want to be there at all. And
also visually, like a very enjoyable movie. Like all the locations, yeah, it's largely one location, but the couple of locations, they have an ambiance about them.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Oh, and and I think as far as scares go, I mean, as the movie unfolds, that's a real treat when you get a horror film that stays scary throughout, you know, mm-hmm. even to like the last shot was really scary, you know?
Yes. I will say that, like, yeah, no spoilers, but I fucking love the last shot of that movie.
So good. So good. I mean, there are moments in that movie with us together that like something would happen and I would just audibly go, oh, you know, like it wasn't even a jump scare. It was just the arrangement of things on the screen would just make me like get an audible reaction going, absolutely not, you know? Yeah. And I know this is probably pretty frustrating hearing as we dance around this, but hopefully it's getting you excited. I think this movie was just like so well done. I'm excited to see what this director does next. Yeah.
I think it did a really good job of like kind of exploring some themes that we don't see a lot, but yet incorporating just some really classic horror elements that worked really well. Like there are great jump scares.
Fantastic jump scares.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, it was kind of like pushing, you know, the envelope in certain ways, but yet staying true to kind of what works in certain ways. And it worked together really well.
Yeah.
Definitely. If you just want to get fucking spooked, it's a really good one. That was the first movie I saw of the whole festival.
Yeah, it was a good one to kick it off.
Yeah, it was a good one to kick it off. I also, like, one of my favorite moments of the weekend was, don't want to give it away too much, but there is a certain oddity character.
Yeah, this one's on the poster, I think we can talk about, just like that it exists, you know.
There's an oddity that exists through the film that's kind of this very unsettling, like, wooden man.
Right.
And we had gone, it was the day after we saw Oddity, and then we had just gotten out of the Over the Garden Wall panel, and our friend Leo wanted to get a picture because we had seen this, but Brian wasn't aware of it yet. Like, we had just gotten out of Over the Garden Wall, and Leo was like, oh, we have to go get a picture with the oddity guy, and Brian goes, he's here? like it was a celebrity.
He was, dude. Oh my gosh. That,
like, just exclaimed, and it was just, you know, like it was just a wooden version of him sitting at this table that we got a photo with. We should put that on the Instagram. But it was so funny. It was like, I don't know, it was like the most excited I saw you all weekend. Like, it was like you were about to meet like a celebrity.
Couldn't believe they got the oddity, you know. Couldn't believe it. Yeah, that was really fun. And this one is a Shudder release. Don't think it has a release date yet, but it will eventually come to Shudder. If you get a chance to see this in theaters with a crowd, though, I think this one with those big booming speakers and that big screen. Oh, man. Some pretty bone chilling stuff in this one. Oddity. So we've gushed about that one a bunch. That was my personal favorite, I think.
Yeah, I would say on a, like I said, on a certain scale, also like my favorite. I really loved that movie. I think I just loved, it's hard for me to rate what I saw because I loved them for such different reasons.
Yeah, that's a good film fest.
Oddity was great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'll follow that one with another one that I really liked that's also getting a Shudder release. This one was called Infested.
Woo!
Woo! This one was also, I think, a fave of everyone that I talked to. The premise of this one is it takes place in a French apartment building. And our main character has an appreciation for little exotic critters, little bugs and snakes and bugs, and spiders, and brings home a pretty exotic looking spider that he gets by secondhand. And the spider gets out and multiplies. And pretty soon the entire apartment building is infested. That's the name of the movie. I don't like spiders. I don't like spiders. And this one was hell for me to watch. This one. And there's another movie currently in theaters called Sting, which I've heard is, you know, it follows like a little girl that has a pet spider and the spider gets too big. And it's like a maybe like a Little Shop of Horrors sort of story. Whereas this one, so many spiders. So many spiders, incredible jump scares, such a an energy and a pace to this one. This one, a little inside baseball, this one is the director, Sebastian Van Nixick. I know I mispronounced it, but Sam Raimi from Evil Dead saw this one, liked it so much that this director is now has the keys to the next Evil Dead movie, which is that's usually like the biggest like stamp of approval. And so that's what made me excited to go see it. Yeah, there are so many moments in this movie where the screening that I was at, I was watching literally through my fingers. I was like, I can't. There's so many spiders and I live in an apartment building. And just imagining any one of those scenarios makes me want to walk into the ocean. Great movie. I thought it was so fun. This is also getting a Shudder release. So if you're looking for like a high octane creep out, check out Infested. And the characters are so fun, too. It follows a group of residents that all kind of like band together to try to find their way out of this building. It starts in just like a room is infested and it's a hallway and then it like builds until like when you think you've hit the limit of how much they can throw at you with these spiders and this trope, they find new ways to make you literally skin crawl.
Well, speaking of, so I didn't see this movie, but speaking of new ways to make your skin crawl because of this movie, they literally had a little station set up right next to the bar at the movie theater. There's like a full bar set up and there was just right in the corner. If you wanted, if it sounded fun to you, you could go sit in a chair and people would put spiders on your face. Like
large tarantulas just walk all over your face for pictures. Yeah. nothing.
Videos.
Absolutely
and,
not.
Like, you just be getting, you know, just be getting a drink and there's some guy with massive tarantulas on his face. And it's like, all right, we're doing it.
What it was too soon. I'm glad I was nowhere near it. And I only saw pictures of it online. If I saw that.
I did. I took.
You saw it happen? Oh, man.
Yeah. I watched it happen. Yeah. Nope. I just stood there. I took videos of a random stranger getting spiders put on his face. I was all about it.
I'm gonna close this off again by saying I don't like spiders. God, I don't know when, if it's always been there. I think everyone like kind of just creeped out by spiders, but I don't know. Maybe this is just like creeped up on me over this year, this phobia before.
I don't know that I necessarily want a tarantula on my face, but like homie seemed to be having a good time. He thought he was just like smiling. Like,
yeah, I bet the spiders are chill. The ones in the movie are not. And there's too many of them.
I think it would be probably like a huge liability if they were putting unchill spiders on people's faces at this film festival. But who's to say?
Who's to say? Who's to say at this horror film festival? Infested. There was that one. I can talk about the last movie that's coming out that I saw, because then I saw three repertory screenings. But it's a little indie movie called Things Will Be Different. This is directed by Michael Faulkner. This one was like a little sci-fi. It's this kind of time travel-y heist movie where brother and sister rob. I don't know if it ever tells us what they rob, but they're on the run with some money, and they find a way to escape, and that's visiting this house and going back through a series of like specific, you know, not quite spells, but tricks and things and knocks and everything. They can go back 20 years, hang out in the house 20 years ago, lay low, and then return to that, you know, to a time and place that's safe a few weeks later. So that's the premise. They just need to go back, lay low for a little while until the heat dies down. And they're like, where'd they go? They disappeared. I don't know. And then they come back into their present time, and then they go on their ways. Something happens and they get stuck. And that's the movie. Stuck out of time. And yeah, there was some really cool ideas going on in this one. I thought this one, again, I think this one is definitely worth a watch. I'd have some things to pick at it, but I think largely purposes of telling you to go see it or not, I think that's stuff we can talk about after you've gone see it's, there's enough going on in there that it's definitely worth a watch. Yeah. And this is another little DIY indie, which I always want to sing the praises of, you know?
Yeah. Like, love to see it.
Especially like a time travel-y sort of movie that like, it's really, you don't need much to like, for the audience to believe like, yeah, that's in the past, you know?
Yeah. They did it. That's definitely the past.
Yeah, they did it. That movie is called Things Will Be Different. So those are all the new movies that are coming soon. A lot of them don't have release dates quite yet. The ones that I've said, the ones that I know. And then I saw three screenings. I saw A Creature from the Black Lagoon with little 3D glasses. That was cute and fun. Bye. I enjoyed that. I saw The Hands of Orlok, which was a 1924 silent film with a live score. That was really fun to kind of close the festival out. That was my last thing that I did before I flew out the next morning. So that was really fun to see. And then this was really, really special. I got to see screening of Phantom of the Paradise, Brian De Palma movie from 1974. If you haven't seen this movie, this one is, it's Phantom of the Opera set against the 70s rock and roll music industry scene. It's a blast. The movie is so fun. If you haven't seen it, I can't wait for you to go see it. It is such a joy to watch. And it was fun to see this in a live audience with a bunch of other hyper fans. In addition, Paul Williams, who plays the big bad and famous Paul Williams singer-songwriter, was there for a Q&A afterwards. So that was really cool to see. The man that wrote The Rainbow Connection and... Yeah.
That is such a cool thing about like these film festivals is like everyone who's there is there because they like really love what's going on and really love movies. And then you also just get all these creators and all, you know, different people involved, and it feels so like, I don't know. It doesn't feel very like it feels like you're all in it together. You know, it's very communal. Like they're excited to be there. You're excited to be there. It's just cool.
You hit it right on the nail. That's what I love about these fests so much. And it's kind of what I say at the end of like any like Comic-Con or something, that as soon as the fest wraps, I always go, okay, where do you all go after this? You know, we all scatter away. But yeah. I'm like, I miss y'all. This is, I wish I would have this, you know, this celebration more, you know, it's exactly. So fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be in that like kind of environment with just like, yeah, people who are excited to be nerdy about like the same kinds of things that you are. And yeah, exactly. Like everyone has a life outside of it. So you're also like meeting all kinds of like interesting people that are, you know, living very different lives, but you have this one shared like interest and experience. It's cool. It's a good feeling.
Sure. It is a good feeling. Yeah. Yeah. And this was a film fest, so we talked a lot about the movies that we saw, but there were other, like you said earlier, there were a lot of other really fun things going on. Like the closing night, there was a Halloween costume party with a really cool band. Boyfriend was the singer. Yeah.
Boyfriend, I gotta say, she liked my Instagram post.
Oh, so good. Good.
I was like, hell yeah. Because she just is such a vibe. Like it was such a good show and like so much fun. And yeah, and it did also feel, because I know she's like fairly well known. It still felt like it was kind of a very intimate concert because it was like all people from the film festival. So kind of yeah, got to have our own little private concert and party at like a really cool spot in New Orleans. I don't know that, like, I don't remember exactly where it was, but the venue was really cool. And yeah, it was just like, it wasn't like an overwhelming crowd at all. It was just like a cool crowd of people like celebrating Halloween in the middle of April. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, a few people like were in front of us during the show. And I don't know for a fact, I don't know these people, but I got the vibes that they had kind of just wandered into this party or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I heard one of the guys like talking to his friends being like, wait, like, why is it a Halloween party? It's April. Like, he was like so confused.
That was a wild one to walk in on too.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Boyfriend's super theatrical. It was super fun. Each song, a different costume. There was costume changes in and out.
So many costume changes, yeah.
And all the costumes of all the festival attendees were super fun. Saw multiple shining twins, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff.
And it was also cool because, like, going back to what I was saying, ran into the director of Realm of Satan, chatted with him for a little bit. Also, creator of Over the Garden Wall was there just hanging out. And I, like, fangirled a little bit. Yeah. And, like, ran up to him. He's very, very sweet and awkward. And I'm sweet and awkward. So we just had a sweet and awkward little, like, moment. But, yeah, like, the creatives and people like that were there as well, just, you know, mingling with attendees, which was a very cool vibe.
Yeah, it was rad. Yeah, that was an awesome party. Generations Hall is where it was in New Orleans.
Yeah,
it was a cool place. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, we talked about the movies, we talked about the closing party. There's some cool merch that was available there. I know Vinegar Syndrome was there. I had a table. That's always fun chatting with them and all their releases, because they pride themselves on being like the Criterion collection of trash, which I think it's really fun.
I don't know her name, but the girl who was running that booth most of the film festival was so sweet and fun and cute. Like, she had such a great vibe.
I really loved coming out each screening, checking at the Vinegar Syndrome booth, telling her what I saw, seeing what she saw, looking at the movies. I did come home with one, which I didn't even know this movie existed, but yeah, they did a release of this movie called Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. Yeah, it's a 1965 release. It's got Peter Cushing. It's got Christopher Lee. The cover looked so cool. And I was like, what is this movie? I've never even heard of it. And learned it was an anthology film. And it's Peter Cushing is Dr. Shrek. no relation, I assume. And he's got a deck of tarot cards. It's an anthology film. So each of the stories is a story of how each of these men will die, and based on whatever tarot card that they get pulled. So very fun. And I had no idea this even existed. And that's also the beauty of Vinegar Syndrome and these boutique releases, is that, like, I've never heard of this. So taking a blind buy. And yeah, so I love this. I always love stepping by the booth and picking out something to bring home, you know, like, keep it going. Keep this spooky movie train going.
And there was also the there was a very cute little art market. Took place at like a brewery, and lots of just like independent artists, local artists. There was like a booth that just sold like horror novels, pretty much, like books. Talked to some of the artists. I bought some really cool stickers. But yeah, just like a lot of like local New Orleans artists that do more like kind of spooky stuff. And that was just a vibe. It was like kind of in the evening, sunny evening at a brewery. And yeah, it was a cool little market to go hang out at.
I missed that one, but I wish I would have caught it. It looked like there were some fun vendors there. Yeah,
cool.
They got horror trivia there too.
Horror trivia.
We're listing all the stuff we got to do, and there's so much we missed, you know?
Yeah,
Which are, like in any film festival or a music festival or stuff, is as much stuff as you see, you gotta kill some darlings, you know? You gotta say no to something.
You gotta pick and choose. And I must say, I am very proud just in general of how well I think we budgeted our time the entire time we're in New Orleans. We were only there for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I think we like packed in so much good stuff. And I would say we still got like a healthy amount of sleep. I think we did a good job of not overextending ourselves, but making the best out of our time, which is always.
Be very grateful to the fest. 10 out of 10 for having no movie start before noon. You know? Let me sleep in.
We had nice slow mornings. So we would would wake up naturally. We'd go get brunch. Brunch was like the main meal we ate all day. And then it would just be like popcorn.
In hindsight, what I would do different, I would hydrate immediately, because what I ran into, maybe it was an allergies thing, maybe it was something else, but the first night in New Orleans, we had some fun, we had some drinks, and the next day did not hydrate enough. And that was also the day I saw the most movies. By like the third movie, my eyes were sandpaper. Like I was like, there's no moisture being created for these eyes, and I will force them to watch a fourth movie now,
I remember when you texted us about that, like asking for your eye drops, I like audibly think I went like, oh no, because like that's the worst problem to have when you're
it was awful. And it was during like the movies that I was really enjoying, but it was like that, you know, that shot in Clockwork Orange where he's watching the movie with like the eyes. It was like me, like, I'm enjoying this, but I which, you know, once I figured out what it was, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just need to drink more water. That's what it is.
Yeah. Hydration is key.
Yeah. I bounced back and we were all good, but pretty dark there for a second.
We also, I feel like the gods were shining down upon us. We hit perfect weather, literally perfect. It was 75 sunny, slight breeze the whole time we were there.
I would agree. And we also missed, there's a bunch of movies that we didn't get to see, and a bunch of shorts. I'm really bummed we missed all the shorts. Because a lot of these times with these festivals, I feel like they're the only times I really have access to shorts to see. And the curation is key. Next year, that's going to be back to the top of my list of making sure I catch one of those. So I saw us last time I was there last year, I got to see one of the sets. And some of the favorite stuff I saw was in that. Anyway, Overlook Film Festival in New Orleans happens every year around beginning of April. That's when it happened this year. Please keep it going. This is
so fun.
It's at a perfect time too.
That was another thing I was saying. Like, I feel like it was the perfect time to visit New Orleans in general, not only because the weather was amazing, but also we're a few weeks out from Mardi Gras. So they still have like the Mardi Gras energy, but in like a much chiller capacity.
Right. And it's not too humid. It's not too hot yet because it's April. It's not quite into the summer months.
It was such a vibe. I personally thought like crowds were like very manageable. It wasn't like insane. It was like the perfect amount of people and things happening. I don't know. It was great. We got so lucky. It was a really wonderful 3 days.
Yeah, the fest was great this year. Had a great time. A lot of surprises. I love the programming that they do. Like I never would have expected. Like last year, the repertory screening was Matinee, and they brought in Joe Dante, and John Goodman was there. And I had never seen Matinee before that, so that was such a treat. And I love that. In addition to introducing all these new movies, it also spent the last day looking back and like, hey, make sure you didn't miss this one from like 20 years ago. And then bringing like creators and like celebrating. It's like this big celebration of specifically horror movies or horror adjacent, because, things like I Saw the TV Glow and I just mentioned Matinee. I think they're more adjacent. But what they do is they celebrate this pop culture that we love, you know?
Yeah, even like Over the Garden Wall. Like I remember... like I was talking on the phone with my boyfriend and he's not like a big horror person, but he even was like, why is that there? And I had to like explain to him that it's a very important in like gateway horror. It's a very, it's a very loved show.
Yeah. There are a lot of Venn diagrams of Halloween enthusiasts, horror enthusiasts.
Exactly. You know, it was a pretty full theater too for that event. But yeah, it's just like there are a lot of people that would be at this festival that would really love something like that. It's, you know, there's, and I love that. I love, that it kind of like branches out in different directions. And that also helps too with the, kind of what we were talking about, how you have to pick and choose and not everyone can fit into every screening. When you have things that kind of branch off and are more of a variety, you're going to have, you know, people that like, a certain kind of horror funneling this way and people that, you know, like, so you funnel your customers a little better when you have like that kind of variety. And I thought they did a really good job of that, of like kind of giving you a mix, like for every time slot, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't imagine that's easy to do.
Yeah.
Finding that out. Hats off to all the volunteers to Overlook Film Festival. Loved going. I can't wait to go again next year. Make this just a yearly tradition. I went on a whim last year, and now it's like a, I feel like a yearly staple for me.
New Orleans is so lovely. Like, what a great city. What a great place. Like, yeah.
Big fan. Big fan. Well, this is the Happy Harvest Horror Show. This is, we usually do like, you know, some fun research or to celebrate just spooky, but this is scary culture, and this is and we got to talk about it.
We're here to talk about it.
So this is fun, kind of branching what we're all about. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Like I said, the spooky Catholics are not far away. They're waiting in the wings. Stuff to talk about, so stay tuned. That'll be coming very soon. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed this. Hope this, if you're not familiar with the Film Festival or Overlook or New Orleans, if you're not familiar.
Never heard of New Orleans.
Who knows? There was a time I didn't know either. It's a long time ago, but yeah, I hope this was fun to watch. I hope this a little bonus episode was a good little nugget to chew on. Yeah, as always, stay spooky out there. If you want to join our book club, We got a meeting coming up on May 1st. We're almost into the slasher summer. Yeah. You called it the slasher month.
Slasher summer. I think that's the vibe. I don't know. It's like a TikTok aesthetic, but I'm into it.
Listen, I'm here for it. Yeah. There's a new, I don't know if it's, I'm not an Instagram. I'm a lurker. I never post.
You are such a lurker. You don't even like, dude. You don't like anything.
That's my business. But when I was posting the art for our most recent episode on ghosts, or our favorite ghosts, I saw there was a fun new filter, because you have the little filters for pictures, and it was the light bleed, or the color like bleed one. And I was like, this is so cool. I just felt like I figured out what like an iPhone was for the first time. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. You can do this. This is pretty.
Can you believe you can do this on your phone?
So now keep an eye out for every time I post a photo, there's going to be unnecessary color bleed, you know?
Just random filters layered on top of each other.
Have you heard of this one? Wow. Hefe.
Oh, fucking Hefe, man. Oh, that's so funny.
Thanks for joining us. Happy Harvest Horror Show. We have a good time and we love scary things. Corey, any closing thoughts before we leave them?
Thank you to New Orleans. Thank you to Overlook. It was such a good trip and I had such a good time. Check out some of the films we mentioned. Like, I think we saw a lot of good ones. I think so too.
I think so too. Hey, stay spooky out there.